But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Second and 8 for Leonard. Takes the shotgun snap, looking right, going to throw wide open. He's got Greathouse. Catches to the 30, cuts back in the 20. Jaden Greathouse is going to walk in to tie the game. What a throwing catch. 54 yards. Leonard to Greathouse. And Notre Dame strikes back with 4:38 to go in the Orange Bowl.
That was the Notre Dame Radio Network, and that was the most explosive play of the game. That tied the game, as you heard, with just under 5 minutes left to go. The ensuing possession, well, that was a Drew Aller interception that set up a 41-yard field goal for Notre Dame. They win it. They're playing for the national title.
Wow. All-time game.
All-time game. I thought the Arizona State-Texas game was a little crazier, a lot more ups and downs. This one was fun, though.
Well, I mean, that Arizona State-Texas game was kind of non-entertaining until the fourth quarter. It was like Texas was in total control. That game was over, and then Texas just blew it, right? It was 24-7 until like 6 minutes left in the game.
No, this one had wild swings. So Penn State gets out to a 10-point lead. Then Notre Dame goes on a 17-0 run. Then Penn State responds with a 14-0 run of their own. And then we just played for you the tying touchdown, and then I mentioned the interception. It set up the field goal.
But even without scoring, one thing about this game, there was brutal hitting. I mean, Tyler Warren's head almost went through the turf. And of course, because he's gigantic, he came right back up. And also, Leonard got a concussion. Like, these teams were smash-mouth football all over the place, and give them credit for that.
You know what I'm hearing a lot of from you guys today? And I know we have the poll up right now at Maggie and Pearl on X. Did Penn State choke this away? I am not hearing a lot of James Franklin blame. You know, Perloff, whether it's you, Nick Costos, who joined us earlier in the show from You Better You Bet. I'm generally seeing that Franklin seems to be coming out of this thing kind of unscathed, even though this now makes 13 losses in a row to top 10 opponents.
Well, wait, it's top five. Got
4-20 against top 10.
Because he just got a win over one or two top 10 teams. Was SMU and Boise both?
I don't think SMU
One of them was a top 10 team. So, but there's one, he can't beat a top five team. And it's really Ohio State. But yeah, so the thing about James Franklin is they had a better game plan the first half. They clearly solved Riley Leonard running the ball after Georgia. I mean, kind of obvious. We all knew that. And I thought their offense looked great. I thought. You know, they have a quarterback who is totally shaky, and they made up for it completely with all these fun running plays. You know, you didn't know they were going left, they were going right, they were pitching, they were doing short passes, and Tyler Warren was moving everywhere. That's the one thing. Like, I know he didn't have a ton of yards, but he was quite effective in this game. So I give Penn State, I thought Colt Nickey, the Penn State offense coordinator, did a great job up until the fourth quarter, and then his gadgets fell short, and the lack of solid quarterback play cost him.
31 total points scored in the fourth quarter alone in this game. I'm not willing to put James Franklin off the hook here. I think you guys are. I'm not going to. That was a game you had a lead in a fourth quarter. And I understand that Drew Aller, the quarterback, threw an interception that is unforgivable, right? Unforgivable. But at the same time, you had options here, and I guess I'm going to sound like I'm playing Monday morning quarterback, but, you know, to play that way more conservatively than you did. You had just handed the ball off on first down and got a first down. Now, all of a sudden, calling these pass plays with 33 seconds left, I understand you want to get in field goal range to try to kick the walk off. But at the same time, Drew Aller threw three total picks in this game. Two of them, luckily, got called off because of a penalty. You know, and this one obviously stood. I thought that he looked pretty shaky to now put the ball in his hands and ask you to go win the game when none of your receivers have registered a catch at this time in the game.
That's one mistake, but
that's mistake.
Yeah, but do you think overall, like, Notre Dame's coaching staff had a better game? Like, what was Notre Dame's plan for the whole first half? Honestly, if Abdul Carter just grabbed that fumble at the end of the second quarter, so many little things happened. I don't think like Notre Dame's coaching staff out-exed him in any possible way.
One thing about Notre Dame's coaching staff, though, so when Riley Leonard gets knocked out of the game in that second quarter, you mentioned the Abdul Carter sack, almost became a sack fumble. It was on the backup quarterback, Steve Angeli.
Who's probably a better passer than the starter, but go ahead.
I think it kind of unlocked something there for Notre Dame. Maybe they're like, geez, we can actually kind of throw the ball a little bit more on Penn State than maybe we had thought. And I think they carried that over into the second half. Abdul Carter, though, for Penn State, as we have been telling you this morning, has officially declared for the draft. He is awesome. Probably going to need some kind of shoulder surgery, but I mean, what an outstanding game he had, even in defeat. He's playing with one arm, and he was like taking it, doing everything he possibly could against Notre Dame, but ultimately not enough.
He was great. And Nick Costas and I agreed on this. I thought Drew Aller being shaky cost them the game.
Right, so if you're James Franklin, why are you putting the game in his hands with 33 seconds
left? Yeah, that was a mistake, but I'm not killing a guy for being aggressive. I mean, I get it. Like, are you really going to win the national title if you have the ball at the 30-yard line in a minute and you can't go for a field goal? Like, what are we even doing here? Like, I think you have to, at a certain point, have faith in your team. I mean, well, maybe you find a way to get lucky and win this game and then lose by 20 in the next round. Like, you got to have... They weren't that far away from a field goal. Like, it made sense to go for it. I understand what you're saying. And honestly, it was uncharacteristic. Drew Aller never throws picks. Usually, you trust him not to throw picks. He's got one of the best TD to interception differentials in the country. He usually does not throw that pass. Probably the moment was too big for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a crazy pass. He said he was trying to dirt the ball. I've never seen a quarterback try to dirt a ball by throwing it up in the air in the middle of the field. It's not generally how you do that. But
if you're James Franklin, do you really think that Drew Aller's going to throw a pick in that situation? It's not like him at all.
No, but it's everything kind of wrong that quarterbacks can do. You're under pressure. You're throwing the ball. You have no idea. You can't see. And you're late. You're off your back foot. You're in the middle of the field. Like, this is... It checks every negative box.
Generally, he doesn't do that. That's why I don't think... I thought Franklin thinks he normally would not make a play like that. And he didn't all night. Like, I mean, Riley Leonard was definitely throwing it. And, well, actually, he did have two interceptions that were PIs, but both were legit PIs. One, the first interception, the cornerback just pulled the receiver out of the way and caught the ball. So that... Anyway, regardless, I'm not going to kill James Franklin for that. And I just think they didn't have the quarterback. Like, and neither team had a quarterback, by the way.
But Aller was the better quarterback. Like, on paper, Penn State was coming into the game with the better QB.
Aller was
the better prospect, that's for sure.
I mean, he was the number one recruit, but he has not played well in the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. Look at his numbers. They're terrible.
We are asking you on X, did Penn State blow it last night? 62% are with me saying yes, although I just feel like that's not the sentiment maybe in the room. 38% saying no, Notre Dame took the game. While we're talking about James Franklin and Marcus Freeman and the coaching matchup here, can I also bring up, besides James Franklin, another coach who may have taken an L last night?
Ooh, I'm curious.
Brian Kelly said that he didn't have the resources at Notre Dame to win a national championship. Reasonable minds could disagree on that, considering the team is playing for the national championship 2 years after 2 years after you left the program. I don't know if Notre Dame's going to win it all. It's going to be an uphill battle. Early look ahead lines, they'd be an 8.5-point underdog against Ohio State. They'd be a 2.5-point underdog against Texas, according to our friends at DraftKings. But, Pearl, does Brian Kelly look bad now that Marcus Freeman, his replacement, is taking Notre Dame to the title game?
Yeah, I guess so, but... I don't know. I mean, he's got bigger problems. It's funny. I don't even think of... I'm not really thinking much about Kelly anymore. It didn't even dawn on me. Yes, I guess he does look bad, but I mean, come on. He's got a lot of issues here at LSU. Like, I don't even think about it as much anymore. You see him as a big L here?
Maybe not. The biggest L goes to Franklin, obviously, because they lost the game. I think Brian Kelly gets a lowercase L. The other way that James Franklin gets an L is because you poo-pooed this because you're not a big bulletin board material guy. Just sort of in general, you think that's insulting to players. Like, they try harder now.
Oh, there are cases where it works, but I understand what you mean.
Okay. Well, generally, you're not a big bulletin board material guy.
Generally, yes. That's a fair statement.
Okay. I feel like this is deposition. Would you say you are more
leading the witness, Maggie? Yeah. Leading the witness.
Okay. Well, sorry. I've been sitting next to the witness for a long time. I think I got a vibe for it. But it turns out that there was some bulletin board material because James Franklin kind of went on a little mini rant about how all teams should have to join a conference and, you know, it's not fair that Notre Dame doesn't have to play a conference championship game and all that. And it turns out that players on the Notre Dame team said that did fire them up. The Marcus Freeman did use that as bulletin board material, and they got chafed by it.
Yeah, and if there was such good bulletin board material, then why did Notre Dame come out flat and Penn State look like a house on fire?
Maybe he used it at halftime. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say, was that the, all right, guys, we're getting our butt kicked. Do you guys remember last week at the press conference? Coach, do you have any more advice on how we cover that big tight end? No, let's talk about the press conference.
Remember that part?
Yeah, right.
If it was
last Thursday.
If it was off week, it was during the week bulletin board material. Sure didn't work because Penn State came and ran right over them like they weren't even an obstacle.
What I found interesting is that the players said that Freeman came in angry during their meetings and practices after that. That it maybe it did not motivate them, but Freeman was upset apparently, or at least he was pretending he was.
Yeah. Did you see Freeman had a speech last week too where he was screaming angry too in the in their last game? So I don't know. Yeah, Freeman, talk about a high Q rating. That guy's got to figure it out. If he's using it for bulletin board material, then I will support it because he can do no wrong right now.
No, he's ascending here.
One thing I got to give James Franklin credit for, by the way, you said he took the big L. He came out before halftime and he said, I'm really worried about that field goal and I'm worried about the middle part of the game. He may not have been able to do anything about it, but he accurately read where the game was going and told the sideline reporter. He knew exactly what was happening. They had an opportunity to win the game in the first half, and I think he knew that, not that they blew it, but they made it a lot more dangerous. He was very aware of what was happening, and I think he was nervous. I think he thought Notre Dame might be a little bit of a better team.
Well, you probably are thinking, wow, this backup quarterback just came in and looked pretty comfortable here. So no matter who comes out of the second half, whether it was going to be Leonard or Angeli, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a big drop-off here. If they have to go with the backup and he seems like he's zipping passes all over the field, we're still going to be in for a dogfight.
Yeah, I thought, and this is just optics, I thought James Franklin looked somewhat in control of that game in the sense that, like, he didn't look like a deer in the headlights on the sideline by any means. He didn't look confused. Like, I feel like he was quite settled. I just don't think his team was really good enough. So I know I can't believe I'm doing an apology tour for James Franklin, who I've always ripped for not winning the big game. It didn't seem to me like he came up small. They just lost an all-time game and by inches too. This is different. Against Ohio State, they usually completely no-show offensively.
Well, they had a lead against Ohio State this year, remember?
That game was not that close, was it? I mean, was 23? They had a lead, but they couldn't do anything. They got totally shut down in that game.
I think you're being generous here. 855-212-4227.
Do you think this was a good year for Penn State?
Now, that's a good question. Listen, they were in the Final Four. So how do you say that's objectively a bad year?
Yeah,
I do not think it was a bad year. But again, you're still looking at, you know, 13 losses a row against top five teams, 4-20 against top 10 teams. Franklin himself has done no favors by losing again. It's funny, EJ and I, right before the show, we were wondering, like, all these losses against top five teams, right? This James Franklin bad record doesn't seem to have done anything to recruiting. Like, Penn State is still strong.
The only reason that they're this good is because he's such a good recruiter. Like, otherwise, they would be just, I think they're in danger of being an average team.
Well, it's still a big deal, I think, to get recruited by Penn State.
Is it?
I do think so.
I don't know. When's the last time they won a title?
I know. But
was it 83?
This is the thing, though. I think it's still a big deal to get recruited by them.
I think it changed after Paterno. I really do. I think that's scandaled. Mm. And I think James Franklin and Bill O'Brien really did a nice job, but I think James Franklin really took this program to the next level. And I think the guy can recruit. There's no doubt about it. He almost got Justin Fields to go up there.
855-212-4227. Is this a good season or a bad season for Penn State? I mean, Final Four, you got to say good, but
see it like a blown opportunity.
I do. I don't think this is not an all-time team. I'm giving them their flowers, but this is not an all-time team. You should have had this one last night, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think Penn State played really well against Oregon in the title game. I just don't think they're quite there. I don't think they're the best team in the country. So I'm not going to kill their coach.
855-212-4227. We're talking about last night's game. Of course, we got the other semifinal up tonight. Texas, Ohio State. The keys to Texas if they want to pull off the upset. We've got that for you. And special A-list celebrity joining us next. We do it all in just moments. Don't move. M&P. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. It is our pleasure now to be joined by a man who's got a movie out today. You got to go see it. It's called Den of Thieves 2 Pantera. Very badass name. It's O'Shea Jackson Jr. O'Shea, Maggie and Perloff here in New York. Thanks so much for the time. Congrats on the movie.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, I mean, we're going to be on pins and needles for the whole day, waiting to see what this weekend looks like for us. But we're all very confident and loving the work that we put out.
If it helps, I've seen the first movie 3 times, and I'm going to... I'm going to see this 3 or 4 times. I don't know if that goes to the opening box, but I can guarantee it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I promise I get beat up way less in this one.
Well, we're happy to know that. I mean, you know, no spoiler here, but you are kind of the mastermind bad guy in the first movie. You are the one who pulls off the bank heist. Now you're back to rob some jewels, some diamonds, and you're in Europe and you're doing it. I'm curious, you know, we get to the sports stuff in a minute because we know it's a big sports weekend. But for the acting part of this, when you're playing the villain, you know, there's a couple ways you can play. You can go really big. You can go a little more subtle. How did you approach being the bad guy?
Yeah, well, it was a weird position because I'm not necessarily supposed to be on your radar. You know, I get so many tweets from people watching Den of Thieves 1, and in the beginning of the movie, I get a bunch of hate tweets, and then by the second portion of the film, by the climax, I'm usually, man, this was great. Oh man, you did such a good job. But I would love to do a film where I get to really kind of be a bad guy. My father is known for his frown. I'm known for my smile. And when the bad guy smiles a lot, that's usually a very good bad guy, you know? So I would love to do that a little bit more. But in this one, you know, the whole dynamic of the film changed from being cops and robbers to more of me and Gerard in a buddy action film.
So I got a screener and I've seen the first half. There's an accent. Tell me about that. How when you had to do that part, how was that?
It was a big leap as far as something that I've never done in my career. But I had a lot of – it takes a village for you to take on an accent and a whole different persona. And my dialect coach, Erin, she worked on Black Panther. And so they made sure that I had, you know, the best tools I had in my arsenal, my French teacher, Serena, and just getting down – the Serbian and French on top of the dialect that I had to use is a new challenge for me, but you know, I can't stay in the same tier for too long, man. We got to bump this up to A-list.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. I mean, many would say already A-list. You're saying your dad is known for his frown. People don't know your dad is Ice Cube. You know, you are such a staple on the LA sports scene. We saw you at WWE event. You were all over Netflix the other night, but you are a diehard LA sports fan. Who is like the biggest athlete in LA right now? Is it LeBron? Has Shohei taken some of his shine? Who's the number one?
Oh, man, that's hard. It's definitely between LeBron and Shohei. LeBron obviously was able to bring the city a championship while Shohei, you know, Shohei was on that other L.A. team, you know, the Angels, you know, they're technically Anaheim. But, no, you know, LeBron was able to bring us a championship alongside Anthony Davis. But we were in the pandemic, so we couldn't necessarily get the parade that team deserved. And then Shohei's just on fire right now. He's got the entire country of Japan behind the Dodgers. As long as they're both LA, bro, they can equal stardom with me in my book.
All right, there are some people, maybe some people talking to you right now, who are skeptical of the bubble title. What do you say to people who say it doesn't count exactly the same for the Lakers?
I mean, as a fan, I have no input on the game whatsoever. It's just loud. That's your excuse. Everybody had the exact same playing field. It was equal playing field. And if anybody but LeBron won, no one would be talking about this bubble nonsense, bro. We all had fair game. We all had fair ground, especially those Clipper players who try to act like, oh, we didn't really want to be there anyway. Yeah, that's why you were up 3-1. Get out of here, dude. You guys choked it off. It is what it is. Clippers gonna clip. That's just how the world is. And we have a saying back at home, if the Lakers can't win, as long as the Clippers are gonna lose. So
that is indeed little brother. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is joining us. He's got a new film out. It's out today, Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. But you're a massive LA sports fan, so obviously we got to talk to you about LA. You know, it's interesting because obviously sports talk radio, we talked a lot about Bronny. And we still talk a lot about Bronny. And, you know, he's going into his dad's field. You are a little familiar with this. You're in the entertainment industry and show business. Your dad did that and does that as well. Do you have any advice for Bronny for how to blaze his own path and sort of step out of his dad's shadow like you have?
Recognize that, you know, the shadow concept can't be something that grabs your mind too much. Mm-hmm. Just recognize that it is about pushing that last name that you have further. And, you know, with Bronny being selected, I couldn't be more happy for him, man. The advice that I would give him would be to, while your dad is such a historical part of the profession that you both are in, you have to make decisions for your own as well and recognize when to take the advice and when to do your own thing. There was a time during the first Den of Thieves where me being the character that I was playing in the first one, I'm not really filmed a lot. So it was a lot of days where I would come to base camp or to set, and I'm on set for 11, maybe 12 hours, and they don't get to my scene because they got to film Pablo Schreiber and Gerard Butler and other people higher than me on the call sheet. So, you know, I'm staying there 11, 12 hours and then, you know, getting a knock on the trailer like, sorry, Shay, we might have to get to you tomorrow. Sorry, Shay, I guess we'll just have to get to you tomorrow. And this happened 3-4 days in a row. And I remember hitting my dad like, yo, is this normal? Like, this is crazy. They got me kind of just waiting around. I show up on time. I'm ready to go, but they never use me. And he goes, just go home. What do you mean? Just go home. You ain't got to do that. Just go home. So, Dad, what do you mean just go home? This is an Ice Cube move. I'm not Ice Cube. I don't have that stardom yet. I can't afford to do that. I got to earn the stripes a little bit. I got to show them that they can't shake me. And I feel that Bronny has already done that when the story came out that he didn't want to do the away games for the G League team. But then he came back and made the decision to go through the stripes with the team. And then his first away game, he put up 30. So, like, if you have those moments where you feel in your heart, no, I got to do this for me because it'll be beneficial for me in the long run, that's when you'll be where you're supposed to be. So more power to Bronny and the entire James family.
What do you think of J.J. Redick so far?
I mean, I love J.J. Redick. I've been a fan of J.J. Redick since he was giving people headaches in Duke. And the only reason why I'm a Duke fan is because of Kobe, because Kobe told me that that would be the one college he would go to. It's always USC, always. But, you know, J.J. Redick, I feel like he is not too far removed from the game. I feel like he understands the new concept of basketball. And I'm loving the fact that he knows when to call timeout, because Lord knows Darvin Ham, I don't know if he thought they just rolled over to the next game or something, but good Lord, he would just save timeouts in the worst possible time. Like, oh, we just gave up an 11-point lead. Let the guys figure it out. Like, no, bro, stop momentum. So, you know, I love JJ's plays after timeouts. The one thing that I do fear a little bit is that we're focused a lot on running plays, and I feel like we need to attack a little bit more, obviously more intensity on defense. When you pick up somebody like Dorian Finney-Smith, you know, a 3-and-D guy, you want that.
Man, we told you he was a big sports fan. We weren't lying. O'Shea Jackson Jr. has got a new movie out today. It's called Den of Thieves 2 Pantera. The first one, Perloff's seen it a million times. I've seen it once, okay? I can't wait for the next one. You're diehard L.A., but, you know, O'Shea, I feel like I tried to do a little research about this, and the results were mixed. About your football fandom, your dad's like the most famous Raider fan of all time, Ice Cube. Are you Raiders? Are you Rams? Where do you fall here?
Yeah, that Raider fandom, that was just a movie, you know. But the Raiders have always had a place in my heart. They've always had a place in my heart because that's what I grew up loving. And I remember just as a kid, just watching my dad just ram his head in the wall for this team. And so it bothered me as a kid because I'm like, Mom, like, we're not even from Oakland. Like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, well, they used to be from L.A. And so, you know, I did my own personal research, and I realized, you know, before they were from L.A., the Chargers were from L.A. too. So does that mean that I can't go for the Chargers? Ain't that closer anyway? And so for a while, I was going for the Chargers, LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, Lorenzo Neal, Antonio Gates, and Phillip Rivers, the goodest quarterback of all time. And, like, you know, like, that was my team. That was my squad. And then when it came down to Los Angeles getting a team back in 2016, it was between the Raiders, the Rams, and the Chargers. And obviously for my dad, for, you know, just because of how much I know it would have meant to him, I was really rallying for the Raiders to come to L.A. But because I know the circumstances that teams left L.A. for, I said whoever came first, I was going to give my all. I was going to give my everything, too. And that was the Rams. Then that meant I had to cheer for Jeff Fisher for a year, which isn't necessarily the funnest thing in the world. But, like, I give my everything to the Rams now. And, you know, I give Raider fans a lot of crap because they're always so confused about, you know, where my allegiance lies. My allegiance lies with Los Angeles and my Super Bowl winning Los Angeles Rams. I'm a Ram for life, unless they leave me like the Raiders keep leaving y'all. But as much crap as I talk, I am raised by the autumn wind, and the autumn wind is a Raider. Pillages just for fun. He'll knock you around and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Is this a tryout for NFL Films? You're going to be on there. Maggie hates when I do this, but I'm going to pull out my Kobe card. I went to Lower Marion High School, which, as you well know.
Okay, go Aces.
Yeah, yeah, I got dunked on by Kobe at the YMCA. No big deal. I didn't know. Did you get to know him in L.A.?
Yeah, I ran into Kobe a bunch of times, you know, a few times here and there. First time I met Kobe was in 2006 at the Houston All-Star Game, which is just a couple of weeks after he just scored 81 points, just signed with Nike. The world was on fire. Yeah. And, you know, one of my favorite stories to tell is in 2019, I might have been a little inebriated at the house, but I got the liquid courage to DM Kobe because I had reached a point in my career where I was very stagnant. I felt like I wasn't going up, I wasn't going down, and I'm very content, easily content with life, but I wanted more for myself. So I hit him and I asked Kobe, I was like, can I get some movies, some books, some mantras to follow that always keep you going? And instead he gave me his number. And then so I texted him and he was like, you know, I'm gonna hit you in a couple of days. And I was waiting by the phone until he finally hit me. And we talked about our fathers and what it's like going into your dad's footsteps. And he told me that feeling that you've never done anything or that you haven't done enough to hold on to it, because that's the only thing that's going to make me want to get up and push and thrive for more. And if it wasn't for that moment, I would have never had another chance to talk to him, because 2 months later he was gone. So I hold that moment dear to me, and I use it to keep me pushing forward.
O'Shea, thank you for the time. Den of Thieves 2 Pantera, we love talking LA sports with you. We could talk wrestling with you all day. Thank you and congratulations on the film.
Thank you so much, and obviously I'm going for my Rams, but I want Bills versus Lions in this Super Ooh. Bowl.
Maggie's a Bills fan.
I know. I saw it.
Yeah.
I want Bills versus Lions. I want people to be going for their first Super Bowl. I need that.
Too bad Eagles are going to be there. My Philadelphia Eagles.
Yo, chill, bro. I've had Jalen 2 years in a row in fantasy, and he won.
You needed Saquon. That's your problem. Yeah,
exactly.
O'Shea Jackson Jr., Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a really interesting question. Let's say we get there, Pearl. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, entertain this with me for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Say it is Bills-Lions in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Both are the underdog. Like, both are the franchises that have been sorry, that have been, you know, associated more with losing than winning up until pretty recently. Maybe had some glory in the past, in the 90s, with Barry, obviously, for the Lions, and for my K-Gun offense, and Bruce Smith and all of them. Who gets to be the lovable favorite if it's Lions-Bills?
Lions. Bills have been to multiple Super Bowls. Lions,
it, 35 years ago.
100% Lions.
I disagree. Bogus is here with headlines. What's up, Bogus?
Guys, one more.
But as O'Shea would say, chill, brah.
Sounds better when he says it.
That's so cool that he said that to me. I'm going to carry that all day. Go ahead, Bogus.
They were down 10-0, up 17-10, down 24-17, and then they were 27-24 winners. Notre Dame surviving Penn State in the Orange Bowl because Drew Aller threw a pick with 33 seconds left, and Riley Leonard turned it into Mitch Jeter's 41-yard tie-breaking field goal. Irish head coach Marcus Freeman.
They executed it flawlessly. Nobody panicked. It was great communication. Riley kept everybody under control, and we knew we were in range where Mitch could make that field goal.
Freeman is now the first black head coach, the first head coach of Asian descent to reach the FBS title game. Notre Dame trying to win its first title now since 1988. It is technically another top 10 loss for Penn State head coach James Franklin, but no regrets.
We played our tails off tonight and really played our tails off all season. Obviously, we need to give Notre Dame and Marcus a ton of credit. They did a great job. We knew it was going to be a fourth quarter game and come down to a possession, and that's exactly what happened.
But his team on the wrong side of that final score. Now, the morning after the loss, Penn State defensive end Abdul Carter, a likely top five pick, declares for the draft. Here is some news from the NFL. The Jets and Browns will join the Jaguars in hosting games in London next season. Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson scheduled an interview with the Patriots this morning, the Raiders this afternoon, then the Bears and Jaguars tomorrow. His co-worker Aaron Glenn met about the Jets vacancy last night, the Saints and Raiders today, the Jags and Bears tomorrow. The night after taking their showdown with the Thunder, the Cavaliers fought off the Hornets last night, 132-126. Their win streak is now 12. The Mavs used a late 16-0 run to steal a 117-111 win from the Blazers, and the Rockets spoiled Ja Morant's return from a shoulder issue with a 119-115 win in Memphis. Ja had 27 after missing 5 games. MLB Network Radio says Pete Alonso's camp has given the Mets, and the Mets only, a 3-year proposal. There are opt-outs for Alonso after each of the first 2 seasons. A big money deal from anybody has not materialized for him this winter, but Alonso is the Mets' best remaining option for lineup protection for Juan Soto. No deal is considered imminent at the moment. And since I've been taking shots at Manny all morning, let me finish with something positive.
Meyer sending it back out for Jack Hughes. Stripped of the puck. Here come the Rangers. They have numbers. Riley Smith. Carrick on his left. Smith moving in across. Carrick scores! Sam Carrick, the overtime winner. And the Rangers defeat the Devils. 3-2 and a thriller.
Manny Pucks is happy. Kenny Albert on Rangers Radio.
That was nice of you. Manny's been crying all morning because Penn State lost to Notre Dame last night. We've been feeling bad for him. He's our big Penn State fan around here, along with Mrs. Stewart, obviously, EJ's mom, who's an alum. That made you feel good, though. Now you're smiling.
Yeah, hockey. Woo! Fun.
Hey, the Knicks are still good.
Yeah, but they didn't play last night.
That's true. It's true.
That's all right. You only have to sit with this Penn State loss for, I don't know, 8 months.
How's the money thing going?
What money thing?
Right. And the
oh, my God. Bogus, next you're going to bring up the fact that Rihanna's already taken.
Oh,
damn it.
There's also that.
I know. Manny can't catch a break.
No. I mean, you're more likely to have James Franklin win a big game than you ever talk to Rihanna.
Are you sure about that one?
What happens first?
To be fair, what would DraftKings say?
I might accidentally run into Rihanna in New York City.
Get Costos back on the line. What kind of odds can I get on that?
Yeah. Whatever you do when you see Rihanna, don't tell her she smells good. You weirdos. You can tell her her fragrance smells nice. Telling a woman you smell good, it's a little too familiar.
What are you wearing, Rihanna? It must be Fenty.
I mean, that's...
Oh, that won't work.
That's good. She's going to keep walking. Yeah. That one, Manny.
She probably smells like the beaches of Barbados.
Keep walking. There'll be, you know, security guards, 350 pounds. I'll body slam Manny through the pavement as soon as the words come out.
And I will somehow find some unfound strength.
The jaws of life.
Take me
it's
three
like, Rihanna,
F-150s.
You smell like, and then a blow dart just takes out Manny right in the neck.
It would take three F-150s to try to get me away.
I don't know. You and Bogish have similar tastes in women. First, you fought over Jennifer Aniston, and now Rihanna.
No, no, you can have Rihanna. Jessica Alba, we have a conversation about.
Yeah. Similar taste in women. You mean you like women?
Yeah, beautiful ones. That smell yummy.
Bogus, yeah. Bogus and I like attractive women. Yeah. Shocker.
Right.
Wow.
But,
Rihanna's in your wheelhouse?
Wow.
Manny, that's interesting.
The Girl Is Mine, part two, Manny and Bogus.
I do think it's surprising that 27-year-old Manny and 44-year-old me are fighting over Jennifer Aniston. That's a compliment to her that she...
Multi-generational.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, that's the power of friends.
That Manny is watching for the first time on Netflix.
That Bogus saw first run.
Yeah. On a TV with commercials. Yeah. And I had to wait till the next Thursday to find out what happened with Rachel Ross.
Was that before or after you parked your dinosaur?
I was still on my dinosaur watching. Comfortable seat.
Streaming?
Yeah.
By the way, what happened at the end of Rachel Ross? I saw the...
She got off the plane.
They got married, right?
We don't know that, but she got off the plane.
They got married more than once on the show.
At the very, very end, they end up together, right?
Were they just hurting from material? I'm not a Friends person.
Yeah, okay. It didn't end well.
Yeah, the ending was... Paul Rudd showed up in the last episode. I know that. He was in the last year of the cast.
Yes.
This hasn't been figured out after 25 years.
I have no idea.
It's like the Sopranos ending. Did Tony die?
I don't watch it for sure. I don't remember at all. You're right. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, she got off the plane. Made me cry every single time that I watch it.
Do you?
I'm an emotional man.
You cry at Friends?
Maybe.
I think that's a definitely.
I'm pretty sure I cried when Kelly Kapowski broke Zach Morris's heart, so I know where you're coming from.
Tough day.
I almost cried during Creature Commandos yesterday.
Oh, my God.
You should say things to yourself sometime.
A very emotional show.
That went out over the air.
I also cried last night after watching Drew Aller throw the interception in the fourth quarter.
You weren't the only one. James Franklin, at least he's rich. I mean, Nick Costos was saying he joined us. He's like, oh, I don't feel bad criticizing Drew Aller. He's a young guy, but he's filthy rich. Yeah. Has this changed now with NIL?
Thank God for NIL and Drew Aller. So that's a great point by Nick. Like, don't feel too bad. The guy's got $10 million in the bank.
Coming up, we will make our picks for NFL Wild Card Weekend, folks. Thank you. Do not move. M&P in moments.
Maggie and Perloff's NFL picks.
Welcome back. Okay, we already made one pick off of last night's college football game. So here are the updated records. EJ, I've got them. I'm 46-45 on the season. Perloff is 44-45-2. So we both still have a college pick to make tonight. We already made it. I have Texas plus the points, and you have the over, right?
Yeah, over. 53.5, I believe, was the number. It was at yesterday.
Okay. So now we got to make some NFL picks. One against the spread, one over under, one player prop. Perloff, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to start my player prop. I'm going to go with a caller earlier who said that the Ravens have gotten over the hump and are now a fully functional offense against the Steelers, and go with Mark Andrews over 45.5 yards at FanDuel. He's actually 47 at DraftKings. I just looked at it now. 45.5 yards because Zay Flowers is out. I like both the tight ends. I think that Lamar Jackson's going to throw the tight ends against Pittsburgh. Huge spread. If that spread plays out, then I think that they will be able to move the ball. It's 9.5 points, so I got Mark Andrews over. My total, I mean, come on. Josh Allen,
Bo Nix. I know there is a chance of some weather, but it doesn't even matter. I feel like Josh Allen's going to go off here. Denver's got a great defense,
Denver's
by the way.
One of the best defenses. Yeah, but they who have they played?
They haven't played a good thing. And actually, I think Bo Nix is like feels like a big play guy. I don't know if they'll get those big plays. Like Cortland Sutton has been on fire. Okay. Can I wait on my side because
sure.
It's? I'm going to wait on my side because it's going to be dramatic. I'll tell you, and you'll understand why when I say it.
Okay. I do not like any of the spreads in this game. I do not. I think this is impossible. So I'm going with all the lesser of the evils here, and I'm going to take Washington plus the 3 on the road against Tampa. I am breaking one of my 10 commandments of gambling, which is betting on rookie quarterbacks on the road. I'm doing it in a playoff game, which makes me doubly stupid, potentially. But this is the only one I even kind of like a little bit. Washington plus 3. I didn't like what I saw from the Bucks last weekend. Okay, for my over-under, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, under 43.5. I'm just going to go with history here. Zay Flowers is out for Baltimore. I think it's going to be a lot of ground game, and Pittsburgh's offense has just been anemic. Do you know that the prop, the lean for George Pickens is under 3.5 receptions? And the suggestion there from folks at Pro Football Focus would be to take the under on that. I don't know what they're going to do to get this run game going, the offense going. So give me the under 43.5. And then for my player prop, I got to dabble a little into Perloff's Philadelphia Eagle Green Bay Packer game. And the only prop that really looks any good to me would be the A.J. Brown 5.5 receptions. I'll take the over. I know Jalen Hurts is coming out of concussion protocol. But I still think he's going to be forcing the ball to Hurts because everyone's happier when because everyone's happier when A.J. Brown gets his targets. So I'll take over 5.5 receptions for A.J. Brown.
I love it. Okay, you will not bet on the Bills, correct?
Can't do it.
It'd be foolish of me to bet on my own team this week, wouldn't it?
You do this, though. You're not as steadfast about it as I am. You're not as superstitious.
Yes.
A little stitches.
I am picking the Eagles -4.5 on FanDuel. It's so stupid because I'm going to be doubly devastated if this loses. If they get a win and don't cover, then at least I get something out of it. But it's in the link. Like, I don't get it. Like, how can the Eagles cannot blow this? I will drive down I-95 and throttle Nick Sirianni if he does not cover 4.5 point spread. Everything is pointing towards them this game. Just watch out for Josh Jacobs, Saquon. It is a fair amount of points, but I feel good about my birds this weekend. -4.5. Go, Eagles, go.
Are you thinking about going to this game?
No, I'm not. I'm going to wait till later in the playoffs.
Ooh, look at the confidence there. Whoa. Waiting for the NFC next round, huh? NFC Championship game would probably be in Detroit, most likely.
Yeah, I have a crew that we go down to. We've gone down to every playoff game. And we weren't even talking about this game. We're like, if you can't beat Green Bay, then what's the point of this season, right?
You know, we talk about pressure a lot and who's under it. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, you know, name whoever you want. Dan Campbell. I think Jordan Love, I'm interested.
Oh, he's out. What?
Not pressure necessarily, but this guy went on an all-time heater last year. Took out the Dallas Cowboys, nearly took out the 49ers. And the season hasn't been that great. It's been injuries. It's been sort of up and down. The NFC North kind of ate their lunch a little. So,
did you see him against the Niners? It was a thing of beauty.
No, I know, but is he just going to turn back? Is he just this amazing postseason player? Like, do we get a second playoffs of Jordan Love just finding an extra gear?
Well, the guy hurt his knee early in the season and still had a really, really good season. I think he's a star. Remember, like, you can't take out that first game. He was almost carted off the field.
No, I get it. That's what I'm saying. It has not been a perfect season. He's had to overcome a lot. But do we get last year's playoff Jordan Love?
He threw, he's got some really big games this year, so he's capable of it.
Definitely. He could become the story of the playoffs.
Yeah, I hope not.
Well, that would mean it would come at the hands of your birds. Exciting times, guys. And then, of course, we've got tonight. And again, I've got Texas plus the 6, and Perloff has the over.
Yeah, there's one thing. Also, Jalen Hurts coming off concussion protocol. I've actually seen metrics. Quarterbacks coming off of concussion protocol often have numbers that are down. Hmm. That's a big concern. And you need him to run the ball. If I have any concerns, it's that. But it's been almost a month, Meg.
Must have been a lot worse than we originally thought.
Or he's okay. That's my point. That's not what I meant. Oh. I meant he's going to be fine.
Coping.
He better be fine.
Wishing it into existence. Thank you, DJ Stewart. Manny Rodriguez, it's been a tough day for you, Manny. Cheer up. Chin up. Penn State will get back there sometime. Thank you to Andrew Bogish and Andrew Kaplan, to O'Shea Jackson Jr. and our pal Nick Costos. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. The Weedos and the coffee drinkers. We love you.